Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Okay, so I just want to pray for a moment and then we'll head into it. Lord, I just want to thank you for this moment, and I just want to agree with Brown. Holy Spirit, we just want to honor you in this place. Ons eer u, Heilige Gees. We have respect for you, and we cherish your presence in our midst. I pray that you will lead us this morning. Open up our hearts, fill it up, and indicate to us steps we need to take. Things we need to elevate in importance. Forgiveness we need to extend. Friendships we need to make. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will be at work in our hearts. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's about 8 years ago, I preached a sermon in this church, The Axe and the Hammer. And I didn't mean it to be like something very profound, but for quite a while, there was this terminology, the axe and the hammer. It tend to come back to our church. Does it ring a bell with anyone? Was alle oude mense? So it's easy, so all of us. And I actually went back to this and spent some time on it and just like rewrite it. And what I want to do is I want to look at godly friendship and leave us with something here this morning. In this town, I learned a great deal about friendship. And it shaped and changed my life. And I'd like to deposit something this morning. But first, when I was grade 12, I gave my heart to the Lord. And the moment I went down on my knees in this little charismatic church, and ek het gesê, daar is die mal mense. This was the AGS kerk, and there was the happy clappies. And I walked into that church, and I didn't plan it, but I ended up on my knees in the front of that church. And that day I chose Jesus, and I knew this is going to be social suicide. In high school, I was competing, I was building on my image in all the avenues I could, like in sport and socially and academics, and I just built up this friendship group, the who's who's in school. And that day when I went on my knees, I knew there's going to be problems now. Because the things we were busy with was not kingdom. And I went back to school and I was deserted. And I was alone. But just for a short while, net vir daai breath waarvan Daniel praat, daai high. And other people came around the corner, but they did not look like the people I was chasing to be with. They were different. They were unique. And I discovered what true friendship was, friendship in the Lord. And it wasn't long, and I didn't feel alone anymore. But it was a step of faith that first time. I went to university, and after 3 months, they lined all the first years up in the club. Die kursus het sy eie club, waar jy kan drank koop en gebruik, okay? And the first 3 months, no one speaks to the first years, and the first years are like oppressed. Now, I played rugby, so I had immediate a little bit of a status in the res. Like, the guys knew about me, and they liked the idea of what I could be for the res. And then they lined us up in this big row in the club. This is now the night where the first years becomes a part of the res. Jy is nou nie meer 'n jar nie. Jy is nou 'n huisman, okay? And how you would enter from being a jar or a first year into being part of the race is you would take the pipe of a funnel and put it in your mouth. And there would be like 4 or 5 seniors that would be on a chair, and they all have different drinks. One has a beer, onion, brandewijn, I don't know. I don't weet wat die ouens als mix nie. And then you put the pipe in your mouth and they empty whatever they had in the funnel, and that beer mixed with brandy mixed with whatever, it goes into your body. Like in a moment. This is a funnel that we tell a funnel gesien. It's a scary thing to see. You see this one first year, he's like he's so afraid, he doesn't know what this is, but because he's like, he doesn't know what to do, he takes the pipe and everyone's like, go, 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 and then he takes down 2 liters of alcohol in a moment. Now I'm in that row, and 2 months ago, the end of matric, or no, 5 months ago, I just gave my heart to the Lord. I'm like, this is going to be social suicide, what's about to happen here. I'm going to experience social suicide again. So I get to the front and I say, "Daiden gaan nie in die mond in nie." Now I'm a first year. Now I can braaf klink, but I was shaking. I'm afraid. These third years, they big. Hulle het baard. Ek kom nou net uit die skool uit. They say, "You will take this funnel if you want to be a part of this course." I said, "I'm not putting that thing in my mouth." Sê jy gaan staan aan die hoek. They put me in the corner and they left me there the whole night. I was standing all by myself. I'm like, "Lord, if the walls can swallow me, take me in and take me home, because I don't know where to put my head." In the next week, there was a couple of seniors that saw it and first years. They came to me and they asked, "Na watse kerk toe gaan jy?" Because the faith you have is what I've always been longing for. And there, around the corner, came my friends. And we became friends for life. A year after that, Carl, was with me? Carl came into the res, and we have created a wake. And Carl met the Lord and became one of my best friends in that res. Friendships will make you or break you. But there's always decisions along the line. I went on a sport tour with the res. Now the guys know, they know I'm a believer, but I'm going on the sport tour to see if I can reach someone for Christ, but everyone that I want to reach, they go on the sport tour to see how much they can drink because exams are done. And me just being there is extremely... I'm in their face. It's a convicting thing when Werner is there and I'm trying to get drunk. That's very hard. And by that time, I was also a leader in the race. And so the one night, everyone is drunk and a lot of my friends are there and they start to mock me. Says, "Wat doen jy op hierdie sport toer? Wat soek jy hierso? Jy moes nooit eers die leier in hierdie res gewees nie. Wat is..." But because they are drunk, now everything that they have in their hearts came out. Wian, jy weet hoe die koshuis werk. Jy weet hoe dit werk. Dit is brutal. Hy was net hier langs my in die koshuis, Wian. And you know, that night was the low point of my life. I've never been persecuted like that night. I'm on the sport tour, somewhere in Uniondale. Everyone's drunk, shouting at me. And no one stands up for me. Like, I've got no friends. And I went out of the little building where we were, and I remember just crying. I'm just like, "This is too much, Lord." But there was another guy who was a bit younger. I think he was Cole's age. No, he was a year older. His name was Loki Venter. And he said, "Werner, I've been wondering whether I should give my heart to the Lord, and I saw what happened to you tonight in that building. And I watched the story, and I have now decided what I want to do. I want to follow the Lord like you. Baptize me now." Ek sê, "Dude, hier is die Karoo. Dis -2 grade. Hy sê, "Now." I'm like literally still wiping tears. And in my moment of greatest rejection, one of my best friends was made also. I baptized Loki. Still today, he's my, I should claim bietjie van 'n entrepreneurial partner. 20 years later, still one of my best friends. Friendship will make you or break you. I came to Secunda. The Lord said, "Go and play rugby." This church was built in a big way out of the rugby club. That's why a lot of the males looks like they sons of giants, okay? Because it's still the legacy. Kyle and Pierre and D. Owens. At one stage, 2013, a lot of the rugby players started to come to this church because I played rugby. And so that when the pastors met, they said, "This church is, those people go to that church, those people go to that church, and And if you need bodyguards for any event, ask the members of Shofar Secunda, because they're all big. But when I went to the rugby club, the one guy said, you're a pastor, you don't belong here. On the first night. But God had different plans. And some of my best friends came out of that club. What I'm trying to say is the very thing that sometimes breaks us for a moment when we choose the Lord, God is making friends in the process. And tonight, this morning, I want to talk about that a little bit. Friendship. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So I want to talk about friendship a little bit. I'm going to try not to be too long, but I really want to pray with us afterwards that the Lord will help us with this and that He will also do something in our heart and we can invite the Holy Spirit at the end to move us, to comfort us, and to release us. But a couple of things about friendship. Friendship is discovered and then it is forged. Okay? A vriendskap word ontdek en dan word het gevorm. Hoe word de vriendskap ontdek? Friendship works a little bit different than when you discover someone you fall in love with, like when you meet your wife and you build a relationship. With friendship, normally when you look at the world at a certain way and someone comes and stands next to you and they also look at the world that way, and you say, do you also see it that way? Then often a friendship is formed. It's that you two moment, not the band. You also see it like that? Well, I thought I was the only one, and then there's the conversation. Is this also a passion? So in one sense, with a friend, you are shoulder to shoulder, and you're looking at the world, and your heart connect. Isn't that true? But that's only the discovery. How deep and how far and how dear this friend will become will not be determined in the moment of discovery, but the time you spend in the trenches together forging that friendship. All right? And so in one sense you can say friendship is discovered under the stars, but it is formed in the trenches. That's where it grows. Now, romantic relationships, it gets discovered differently. It is discovered face to face, nose to nose. You're looking at that person, and you say, when I look at you, I see in you something that makes me feel you could be a companion for me in this world. So you're looking at that person. That is different. And this is how you know who's still unmarried here. Okay, you can ask the married people, this is true, okay? When you look, if you're a guy, you look at that girl, okay, and you look at them, and it feels like you start to lift up, okay, you begin float, then you know this is not a friend moment, okay, that's a different type of moment. Don't lose that feeling, guys, and then you don't see them for a couple of days, and you're like, was that really something there, and then you see them again, and you float again, because that's when you romantically you look at the person, you float. All right. If you look at your friend and you float, that's a little bit weird. Okay, it shouldn't work like that. But that's how romantic relationships is formed. But now family is also different. Your family is kind of stuck with you because you are, God gave you like to them, and they can't get away from you. You are part of them. It also makes family very important because what it means is family should not fall apart, parents should not divorce, because if family stay together, everyone will always have a safe haven to return to. Okay, let me illustrate. Like, I love my parents, but if, for example, I neglect my responsibilities towards my parents when they get older, that will reflect very bad on me as a pastor. Why? It is expected of a son to care for their parents. Is that right? It is. If you don't look after your children as a parent, it will reflect bad on you, because families are supposed to take care of one another. That's why people are not, rarely people die alone. of some disease, because who's there? Family. But now, listen up. If you have friends there, when you are in the trenches, not family, friends, that means you have forged people that have chosen to be with you in a difficult time. That's very precious. But if you want to have friends there, when the wheels come off in your life, you need to forge them. You need to grow them. And I want to talk about that this morning. Is you met me vanoggend? Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So I've got two tools here this morning. Renier se byl wat iets het met hom gebeur. maar hy lyk nog soos 'n byl. Okay. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, I want to talk about the hammer as the tool we use to build one another up. And actually in scripture, there's a lot of scripture speaking about building up one another. And so when you think about the hammer, you're thinking about bringing a couple of things together. And when you use this, the structure is higher than what it was before you use it. Yeah, you can pick your spikers out of the dim, but generally you are assembling with this. You are building on one another. But also, iron sharpens iron. And we'll have, if we can go to that next slide, and we'll have more scriptures on that that maybe connects better with this axe. But there's also a place when iron sharpens iron, there's not a building up, there's a taking away. Okay? So think about a tree you love in your garden. You love this tree, but the problem is the tree is literally growing into your house. Now you don't have to kill the whole tree, but you maybe have to yield this thing so that the tree can live and that the house can live. And so friends, there's times to build, exhort, and then there's times of taking away, at times of sharpening. And so let's talk about that this morning. Ek moet hierdie ding neersit voor ek iets stik en slat by ongeluk. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, okay, building up, and reprove and rebuke. There's sometimes things that needs to be taken away with complete patience and teaching. Now, let's talk about the hammer. Jesus asked the disciples, who am I? Peter answers, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What is Jesus doing? He's building Peter up. He's saying, Peter, I want to tell you something. You can hear my voice. You did well. What you got here, it did not come from you. So I want to tell you something. You are tuned in. Well done, buddy. Go for it. We know what Jesus will tell him a little bit later, but we'll get to that. But we see Jesus using the hammer and building up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Romans 15, each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. How do you build into one another's life? How do you use the hammer? Well, there's a couple of ways. Sometimes you need people to build and establish your personhood. Okay, so you come out of a family, you've got really a gift, let's say for music, but your whole family, they are doctors, and every year in your life, or constantly through your family, you've heard there's something wrong with you. Because you are not like your dad, you're not like your brothers. But it's like that because God has made you differently. And so what you need in your life is friends, because you've been broken down maybe a lot, enough. You need friends to build you up in the person God has made you to be, to establish that and grow you instead of breaking you down. All right? Another way we build one another is to come alongside one another in our endeavors in life. So maybe the Lord is leading you to start a company, but you don't know how. So how does it work? You say, you go to your brothers and say, guys, will you help me build this? This is in my heart. Please help me with wisdom. Help me with doing this God's way. And so your friends come around you and they build with you. There was once a couple of guys in this church that started a business. And they invited me. They said, we know you're not an expert in this business, but will you help us do it God's way? So I became a beskermier fella. I said, okay, so when you guys have conflict, I'll be there to help you build. When you guys need to make big decisions, let me know. So what they were doing is they were using friendship as a way to build together. We need to build into our friends spiritually through mentoring and stirring up gifts. So here's my question to you. To whom should you hand this thing in your life? Who needs to come alongside you and help you a bit? Don't be alone. Scripture tells us, engage and build one another up and exhort. Do you know who's carrying this thing in your life? Can you write down their names? Because they will be crucial in your life. Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on. What that means is we need to be intentional about it. Let us consider, let us find a way, an avenue to bring a force of building into one another's lives. Not giving up the meeting together. You cannot build if you do not meet. Okay? If you're new around here, join a small group. We do these things for a reason. We don't want to keep you busy. Meet and make friends and be built up. Who's been blessed by small groups? Waar net so het ek sien? Okay. Ons gaan nou by die Bybel kom. Van ons het ook al kwaad geraak. Ons gaan nou daar kom. Don't give up and be intentional. And so again, I want to ask you, to whom should you hand the hammer? And I want to ask you, we can go to that next slide. Maybe there's someone here that needs to go to your brother and say, hey man, I've looked at your life and your family. Will you also help me with mine? Okay. Maak het sin allemaal? Nou. Laat loop. Die ding. Jesus builds Peter up. Petrus, jy hoor die Here se stem. On this rock I'll build my church. How's that for building up? Just after that, he opposes the advancing of God's plan. And Jesus says the following, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance. What is Jesus saying? There's something in you that must come out. That there's something in you. I don't want to work with that. I don't want to build it. I don't want to find a place for this in your life. This part, I want to take it out. So I want you to mark sure. For me to build you, that we must take out. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Now, I can come in here. Do you have a friend that can say to you, right now, you are not setting your mind or your heart on the things of God? Right now, you are living with your heart in the things of man. The friend that says that to you is one that is drawn near with an axe. Is she met me? Can I tell you someone who did this with me? Sumari, ek kyk weer vir jou. Jou man, Carl, when I was young and full of zeal in this church, sometimes my humor was not fitting for the pulpit. And Carl Olivier came to me and said, it's very hard for me to tell you. But when you said this and that, I just think it took away from what God was doing. It was not adding. And when he said it to me for a moment, I felt so ashamed. Like, ek wens die muur kon my insluk. But you know what? He was right. He was 100% right. And I took it on board and I put it in my heart and I said, Lord, you know I'm a light-hearted guy. You know I've got a sense of humor, but will you help me get this right? But here's the thing about this Acts. We love it when our friends comes with this. But when they come with this, we want to push them away. And what do? We go to another friend. And we say, "Can you glo wat daai ou vir my gesê het?" And we find someone to agree with us, to run away from growth. Because what has happened is there's been a little door open of offense, and we harden our hearts against our true friend or true friends. Now, this thing here can be dangerous because you can lose a finger met hierdie ding. Daar's horror stories. But in the kingdom, we need to be different to the world. We need to move away from being offense prone. It's okay for us to say, "Listen, when you say that to me, that's very hard to hear, man. It actually even hurts me." That's okay. But we need to be different to the world, because at the moment, the world is having victim Olympics. Okay? Everyone is being hurt, everyone is offended, everyone's being marginalized, and what has happened, it has moved into the church. And so we're looking for a church that sings the songs we love, we're looking for a church that preaches the length we love, everything is about us, and what has happened is we become lonelier and lonelier and lonelier, and I find a community on Facebook. I'm going online. We cannot lose this in our midst. This is a very powerful tool. Now, we need not be offense prone, but we need not be obnoxious with this thing. Because I'm telling you what, if you use this thing in the wrong way, jy gaan geblok word. Jou pel gaan jou blok. Okay. Wie was al geblok op WhatsApp? Ja, okay. Wie het al ander mense geblok op WhatsApp? Ja, okay. There mustn't make too much jokes. There may be found some who rebuke the failings of their neighbors rather in bitterness of hatred than out of charity. This is also not God's will. Sometimes we yield this thing. Look, I want to say most people are comfortable with this. Meeste van ons is comfortable met hierdie ding. But every now and then you get a guy that's okay with this. Waar is er een hier? Hy is okay met die ding. Wie stem saam met my? Okay. Wat ek nou gaan sê is van jou van toepassing hier. But some people come in with this thing. Like this. And then they are harsh and they say, "Ek praat net die waarheid hier. Ek praat, that's not God's word." Okay, you must know how to do this. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Okay. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What Carl told me that day when he said, "Just check your humor," was a wound from a friend that became strength in my life and prepared me for what I had to do. Do you have friends with us? If you only have friends that affirm what you believe, you have discovered well, but you have not yet forged. Because in the process of forging and growing strong, you've got both. The world is asking us to throw this thing away. And I'll explain to you just one example. Look, I don't want to bash on social media. I'm also on social media. There's a place for it. I see what you guys are doing because I go to Shofar Sekunda's Instagram and I can see, this is happening. I'm like, okay, that's all. That's the time church starts. I took that information from there. There's a place for it. But I want to tell you something. A friend that yields the axe will always try and do it like the Bible says in Matthew, personal, private and promptly. If there's something wrong in your life, they will go to you. Scripture says, go to your brother and tell him his sin between you and him. Who knows that part? Okay. So this thing is to be wielded in private, life on life. There was an old man that said a very true thing. He said he thinks more offense and hurts have been given through the writing of letters to people than in wars. Because when you've got something to say for your brother, don't write the letter. Go to your brother and take his hands and speak with him in private and do it quickly, promptly. Now what happens? People have moved their relationships from being life on life to being on social media. So I've got a friend who said, she's a public figure, she's a believer, she's a Christian, and then she conceived a baby without being married with her boyfriend, and she posted the news on social media. What do you think happened? So bly vir julle. So wonderlik. Ons weet hoe lank jy al hiervoor bid. Scripture, God's ways, and I agree that God can have a plan, but you know what you don't see there? You don't see one axe. Because you know what? The true friend will not yield the axe on social media because they will not chop you in front of others. And so when you move your community online, you remove this thing out of your life. Because you only get the hammer. Prachtig. You get Christians liking. I'm like, oh, I just say nothing. I'm like, I don't want to rebuke you. I don't want to break you down, but I'm concerned for your life. So we need to transfer our relationships from online to life on life, and we need to get around one another's dinner tables and be there long enough so that we can have true friendship, the axe and the hammer, both. How does this thing work? How do we start to backslide? We backslide when there's no one with an axe, and it starts a very small thing. You need to be in friendship because they start to hear what you talk and think about the whole time. And slowly but surely what happens, you start to pick up an affinity for stuff rather than people. It's a subtle thing. Subtly you start to talk about these things the whole time, and these are not typically bad things, but you've drifted a little bit from cherishing people to cherishing possessions, as an example. But now because you've got functioning friendships, your friend's like, dude, toe ek jou leer ken het, jy het jou hart so gebreek vir mense, en jy het gekoffie en accountability groups, and I think this is a good thing that you're busy with, but I'm very worried about you. The reason we are friends today is because what I remember about you is your love for people, not your love for stuff. Now, if you catch it early, it's so easy. It's so hard to take down a big tree. But because you've got a friend, they see. What are some of the other things? You used to be self-giving, now you're self-centered. And the friend that's near, they pick it up and they help you with that. At one stage, you didn't care about what people think. Now it's like, what will people think? And they pick it up. It's a slippery slope. And they help you in your life, your true friend. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's that cleansing. There's that good fruit that comes from the axe and the hammer. And so I want to ask you this morning, to whom should you hand the axe? Be careful though. Now you may assume that your friends may speak into your life, but they might be hesitant, so give them the axe. Tell them, look, I'm as human as they come. I don't thrive on criticism the whole time, but if there's someone that I want to allow to speak into my life and love me that way, here it is. Please. Who's yielding this thing in your life? To whom should you reach out and say, listen, I just want to give you permission. I also want to tell you how important this is. My wife is my best friend. But she cannot be the only one with this. And I'll tell you why. She's my friend. She's my lover. She's the mother of our children. We do everything together. She cannot be the only one with this. That is too hard for her. She cannot be the only one responsible to help me. I need other men to help her grow me. Because what happens is if your wife is the only one with this, we start to work long hours, we start to take up extra hobbies because the home is a painful place. Help your wife. Get true friends. Let them work on you as well. And women, we should, jy kan nie, jou man kan nie die enigste een wees. Hy is jou beste vriend, maar hy kan nie die last of die load van jou emosionele ervarings in hierdie lewe alleen dra nie. It's te veel. So get your friends involved. Amen. I want to tell you a funny story. It's a true story. In Hermanus, my one friend, he's a builder. So he's building next to this house. And he's building this beautiful house. But the problem is the guy across the road is literally grinding and swacing and doing metal works like in his front garden. And each time the agent would bring someone to buy the house across the road, this guy's like, and it's like no one wants to live there because it looks like it looks like Sasol there. That is an industrial setup. It's not safe. And so he asked this guy, he's like, please, can I ask you just to move your workshop to the backyard? You actually should be in the industrial place. And he's like, yay, seni for meini, and then this guy, he's a spris. He literally works and makes a noise when new people come to look at the house. And then they phone town planning and they come out and they told this guy, you have got 24 hours. This is an unsafe place for your children. They're walking amongst this rubbish here. This is not the industrial area. And so this guy with his tail between his legs cleaned up everything, and suddenly it looked better. About a week later, his wife calls my friend. Now my friend thinks, now I'm going to fight again. He's like, because now I'm done with a husband, now it's the wife. She's probably going to insult me. And then this man's wife says the following, I just want to thank you. Because I've been begging my husband for years to make our home feel more like a home. And so thank you for getting the authorities involved because our children can play again. What happened there is that wife was trying on her own and it did not work. Don't put your wife in that position. Invite other people into your life. Amen? I know that you guys preach section for section and verse by verse a lot of the time, so I allowed myself to come in with a little bit more of a topical sermon because I know what you eat here. Okay, so thanks for that grace. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I'm almost done. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Brown has said this many times. Sometimes we don't take the axe to a friend that needs it, and then we say, because I love them too much to yield the axe. But the truth is, and this is Brown's word, it's too uncomfortable for you to be a good friend. That's why you're not telling him. Greater love is knowing this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And we know Jesus talking about what he would do as an example. And I want to get to Christ. I want to land this in the gospel. But let me just say this for a moment. We live in a culture where we do not always have the friends our hearts need. We don't always have the friends our hearts need. And because we live in a time where people also move. Isn't that true? Some of my best friends stayed behind in this town. People move in the day and age we live in. They're in South Africa 1 year, now they're in Canada. Was haben? Canada, ne? Netherlands. Then you build a new friendship. These people move. Next time maybe you move. And especially in this church, one of the words given to this church is we will be an ascending church. So you make a friend and then sometimes they go. And you can phone them, but there's something you miss. Isn't that true? The building, but also the honesty, the acts. What can we do? Well, one of the reasons is it's hard because people move. But the other reason, and this is a crushing one, but I want us to take it up, and this is me coming with the axe. One of the reasons we don't have the dearest of friends is because we are not always the friend we should be. Consistently over time. Isn't that true? Once you commit to be the friend that your heart desire, it's amazing how friends seem to pop up all over the place when you apply it and you extend grace first. And with that, I want to encourage you. Where do we go from here? What do we do with a word like this morning? I want to say, let's look at Christ and let's wrap it up. We're talking about a friend who calls people his friends and then they betray him, they desert him, and he gets crucified for them with arms open as an indication they will remain open to come back at any moment. He's deserted, but he remains with open arms. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes our friends gives us wounds that hurts us for a moment. It helps us. But there's a friend who took our wounds, all of them, as a sign and a model for friendship. And I want to read for us. This is my favorite poem because I think it's maybe the only one I know. It's just the last part. It says, the other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak, and not a god has wounds, but thou alone. And so what I want to ask you this morning is, I almost start the other way around, is have you run into the arms of Jesus in a way where you've allowed him to be the closest of friends? Because what I realized looking back is that day when I thought I was committing social suicide in grade 12, I ran into the arms of the greatest of friends. I was very young, I didn't know him well. But looking back now, I realized I actually didn't feel alone because there was the forsaken from a certain group of friends, but there was the embracing of a new friend. Do you feel alone? Start by running into his arms. It is open and forever will be. Here we have the friend of friends. And then I want to ask you, can you, out of the best, Can you apply yourself the best possible that when you run into his arms and you look at him and you read about him and you pray to him, whatever you learn from him, can you go back into your community and try and model that? Can you be a friend that can build, but not only flatter, because you really care, you've got grace and truth of this. This is how this congregation was built from the start, with a hammer and an axe. by looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I want to pray for us this morning. Is that okay, everyone? Can we stand in this place this morning? I'm here as a visitor, so I get to do what I want. Thank you for that. But I want us to take steps of faith this morning. I know sometimes we sit and we connect, but I want us to move a bit. So if I can just ask some small group leaders and facilitators to come to the front. Let's have some movement in this place. Can you guys quickly come out? I want us to move and pray this morning a little bit, because sometimes it's the movement that we need, the movement of our body that indicates to our spirits there's something happening here. And so I want to start here. And I want to make a couple of calls, and I want us to come out this morning and be brave. Kyle, thanks for being brave, man. I honor you. Kyle is a man that accepts this and this. Ne? It's a good example. But I want to ask you, I just want to start here. If you just want to, again, run into the arms of Jesus as your friend or friend, your best friend. And you know him and you love him, but it's just like that place of friendship is, it's just not where you remember you used to be. Then I want you just this morning as a step of faith to step out and say, hey, just pray for me, because I want to consolidate that. Okay, so I'm going to count to three. I'm not making a moment here, asking you to close your eyes, then your hands. I'm going to count to three, and if you like, I just want to go back to the first friend. Then I want you to step out. Someone's going to pray a short prayer over you, and that's it. Is that okay? One, two, three. Take a step of faith this morning. Is there anyone? No one? I don't believe that. I'll wait. There's someone with faith. Thanks. Ek is aspris, because when we come to church, we engage. We don't sit and go. Yes, you can do that in your seat, but let's have movement this morning. That's not it. And some of you might want to ask for this as well. If you've been deeply hurt by a friend, this thing was yielded in a way that was not out of charity. It was truth, but in the way it was used, it was hurtful. One, two, three, quickly come out. Because for you to have a healthy friendship again, you have to heal up. Thanks for your faith. God will do it. The Holy Spirit was poured out. But this morning, we're just using our friends. We're going to a human. It's the very place where we experience the hurt. But we're going back to a human to pray. Because it's a sign of faith and restoration. If you want to make a commitment to be that friend, if you want to say, Lord, I want you to anoint me and teach me how to be a great friend, quickly come out and say, I want to make that commitment. Because some of you, you've got pictures of people in your mind, and now you realize God has given that friend to me as someone I must walk with, and I want the Holy Spirit to help me do it properly. Then come and make that commitment. Let someone just pray over you. Some of you, you're just going to wait for a facilitator. That's fine. Just wait around. Let's not go and have coffee now. Let's just allow a moment for the Holy Spirit to work. But I do want to invite you, if you want, you can sit down if you're in your chair, and if you can just turn to your spouse or to your friend and just say, what is the Lord lifting up to you this morning? Let's do that for a moment. Take a seat, please. Thank you. And just ask your friend, what is God whispering to you this morning? What bounced up? And if you feel comfortable, you can ask your friend to pray with you. Let's do that.